Imagine a Roomba with limbs.
He gives a little tug.
Televisual porridge.
How'd you mind me now?
Hello and welcome to How Do You Like Me Now, the podcast where we go back and relive the golden years of kids' TV. I'm Will, with me as always is Liz. Hello, Liz.
Rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub.
Oh, okay.
Can you fit three men in a tub?
I think it depends on the size of the tub and the size of the men.
Obviously. You fill a tub.
I fill a tub. Most domestic tubs I will fill.
Single-handed, yeah.
You need an industrial tub to get three of me in a tub together.
Anyway, we don't want to start on a visual of you in the bath.
No.
Let's move on really quickly. How are you? I'll ask you. How are you?
Well, I'm doing all right. You know, I'm doing pretty good. I went out for a walk on the beach this morning. It was very windy, but it was bracing.
Bracing,
you
know,
it's that time
yeah.
you can have a bracing walk.
Yeah.
That blew the coppers up, woke me up a bit, and then I came back into a warm house and felt immediately sleepy, so it didn't work that well.
I think there are only two places that are bracing, which is seafronts and moors.
Yes.
Anywhere else, you're not usually braced.
True. I would go with that. I don't think anyone's ever described like a high street as bracing.
Maybe. But it has to be very close to a seafront.
A seafront high street can be bracing. A moors high street can be bracing. Your average, like, valley high street, that's not bracing at all.
No.
That's practically idyllic.
Dank.
Well, yeah, of course, the base of a valley.
When I think of the bottom of a valley, I think dank. Anyway.
Anyway, Liz.
That's gone a strange turn. We should really get on.
Let's get on. So, a bit of advance notice before we get into this week's episode.
Oh, okay. Have you got an announcement?
We have an announcement, Liz.
Oh, the announcement, yeah. The big announcement.
Yeah, although thank you for buying into the conceit that we hadn't talked about this before the episode.
Even though we're married. We obviously talk about everything.
Well, our 100th episode is coming up soon, Liz. Yes.
You didn't let me do the fanfare before you said 100th.
Sorry.
Don't, it's done now, it's done. Okay. It's going to be our 100th episode. Again, we've done the fanfare afterwards.
Yeah, it is.
Which is fun. It's exciting. They should be excited, shouldn't they, Will?
Yes, people should be very excited because we're going to be doing a heavy hitter. A big thing. We've not come close to it yet.
No.
We've put it off. Because it's for a special occasion.
We haven't put it off, we've saved it.
We've saved it for a special occasion.
Saved it for best.
That's it. So on our 100th episode, we're going to be doing Art Attack.
We are.
We are going to be doing Art Attack. Now, in preparation for that, control yourself, Liz.
I'm just so excited, Will. I can barely control myself.
So if you have, listeners, any memories of Art Attack, maybe you made an Art Attack, maybe you have one that always sticks in your mind that you remember, get in touch. Tell us.
What people's favourite Art Attacks were, what the best Art Attack they ever saw was, and what Art Attacks they made that were either brilliant or total dog shit. That's what I want to know.
Yes, absolutely. So if you've got any of that, get in touch on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook.
If anybody has a picture of something they made.
Oh my God, that
of an Art Attack, I would love that. Because I have no surviving Art Attacks.
No, that would be solid gold. That would be like having the Blue Peter Tracy Island you made in primary school.
We'll definitely give them a shout out if anyone's got photographic evidence.
Yeah, definitely. Send it to us. So yeah, you can get in touch on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Please do. So, Liz, without further ado, let's get into this week's episode.
Okay. I mean, I would argue this is a heavy hitter, but in a different way.
Yes. This is a staple. I mean,
a staple.
This is a thing that's been going for years. It's going nowhere.
Like porridge.
Yes.
The food, not the television show. Sorry, I understand your confusion.
Yes. Yes, like porridge the food. And this is very much televisual porridge.
It's good for you. Eat up your oats. Except it isn't that good for you.
It's not. So this week we watched Noddy.
Yeah.
Noddy. We watched Noddy's Toyland Adventures.
It's a confusing world of Noddy.
It's a very confusing world.
I think what people have got to understand is there's just not one Noddy.
No, there are literally
multiple Noddies.
So many Noddies. I mean,
the Noddy metaverse.
The Noddy metaverse.
So we watched what I think of as Noddy. Noddy's Toyland Adventures from the early 90s.
Yeah, that was sort of from 1992 to 2000. And I think that's the big one that people will think of. However, do you want me to run you through quickly how many there have been?
And that one is a stop motion.
Yes, that one is a stop motion, and that was the BBC's first adaptation of Noddy.
Right. Oh, the BBC did it.
The BBC did that one. Now, that actually is the fifth iteration of Noddy on TV.
Wow.
So you've got a series that ran in the 50s for 3 years, which is The Adventures of Noddy. Then you've got Noddy in 1963, Noddy 1975 to 76, which was ITV, The Further Adventures of Noddy, which is a pilot made for a series. Then you get Noddy's Toyland Adventures, which we'll be looking at. Then you get Noddy, Make Way for Noddy, Say It With Noddy, Noddy in Toyland, and Noddy Toyland Detective. And I think actually there's been another one since Noddy Toyland Detective as well.
And we watched Noddy Toyland Detective.
Yes.
Because we're doing an old and new episode this time.
We are. So yeah, so we looked at classic Noddy and we looked at modern Noddy.
And modern Noddy is an entirely digital affair.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, we'll get to that when we get to it.
Yeah.
But we've spoken before about these digital remakes of shows, and
well, actually, we've been going against what we believe with many of our old and new episodes because we've really liked the new versions.
That's true.
All that ends today. Just spoiler alert for what we're going to say at the end, but. What have they done to Noddy?
Okay, right. Well, let's get into it. Noddy's Toyland Adventures, then.
I have to say, right off the bat, I think Noddy comes a poor second place to Postman Pat, which we also watched recently, right? He's also a man with an iconic car, right?
Yes.
And they also, their first episode is about losing stuff. So they're essentially exactly the same. The episodes that we watched are so similar. And yet, Noddy has none of the charm for me.
But I would argue he's more efficient. Right, the first episode of Pat, he loses some things, delivers sod all post.
Yeah.
Right? Noddy gets at least 3 fares in.
Right, listen up. This I can't even believe, okay? Because you know the format we used to do on this show, on this podcast, is we used to sit here and say, what do you remember about this from when we were kids? And then we would have a break and then we'd actually go and watch it and then come back and record the rest, right? If you had asked me prior to watching this what I remembered about Noddy, I would not have at any point mentioned the words, he's a taxi driver.
No, I wouldn't either. I'd completely forgotten that.
How does Noddy have a job? Because not only is he a cab driver, he's also a child. He's got a child's voice. But yeah, he's picking up fares.
Now, I think I can get to the bottom of this.
Okay.
Right, based on the origins of Noddy. Okay.
You know the origins of Noddy?
I do, via Wikipedia.
Okay.
So obviously Noddy was first a series of books written by Enid Blyton and illustrated by someone else.
My God, the detail you're able to provide.
It's a Dutch man, and I'm not confident of pronouncing his name correctly.
Oh, okay.
So, Noddy is made by a woodcarver in a toy store, but runs away after the man begins to make a wooden lion, which scares him.
Oh, my. I never. Okay.
He wanders through the woods naked, penniless, and homeless. He meets Big Ears, a friendly brownie.
A friendly what?
Brownie. It's a household spirit from Scottish folklore that's said to come out at night while the owners of the house are asleep. I mean, they could have just said he's a gnome. Would have been just fine.
Well, I was going to say, I've always assumed that he was a gnome because he looks gnomish to me.
Yes.
But, I don't know. I don't know if I knew that that's what brownies were because I was in the brownies.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like the cubs, is it? Or beavers?
Yes. Yeah, equivalent of cubs is the brownies.
Yeah. I was in the brownies. And all of our, so you had sixes, and all of ours were named after like sprites and stuff.
Oh, right, okay.
So I was a pixie.
Oh, okay.
within my brownie troop.
Yeah.
So I don't think I realised, I assume that's where brownies comes from then.
That must be it. That would make a lot of sense.
Okay. I thought it was because we all had to wear brown.
Well, I thought that as well, but I presume actually probably that was the thing they said, we'll call them brownies, they must wear brown uniforms.
Because before you had brownies, you had rainbows, I think.
Yeah, see, we, yeah, because it's
rainbows. Or was that a different thing?
I think it's rainbows, brownies, girl guides.
Yeah.
And beavers, cubs, scouts.
But it's all different now because gender means nothing and everybody can do anything and whatever.
Well, yeah, but that, this thing, that's nothing new with like the scouts or anything, because when I was in cubs, which is, you know, a worrying amount of time ago, there was a female cub in one of the other troops. Because her and her brother both joined cubs at the same time because she wanted to be in cubs with them, which is,
you know. So it sounds less like a gender statement and more like their parents only wanted to do one drop off.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's it. Anyway, back to Noddy. Big Ears decides that Noddy is a toy and takes him to live in Toyland.
Well, he is a bloody toy, isn't he?
Well,
he's made of wood.
He was made in a toy store, so you know that's.
I always assumed Noddy was a toy because it's toy town or well, Toyland, isn't
but,
it?
But as I say, initially there is.
But Big
confusion.
Ears isn't a toy; he's a sprite.
Well, this is it. But yeah, he's. So he provides Noddy with a set of clothing and a house. Well, and to be honest, that little bit there, when I read that, immediately made me think of Great Expectations.
Of course. Of course. Remember the bit where Pip runs away from the lion?
What? He runs away from the scary thing, which is Magwitch coming out of the prison Hulk, you know, over the Kent Marshes.
People and then might not be as familiar with Great Expectations as you.
They should be, Liz. They should be. So many adaptations of it on.
I'd forgotten the name Magwitch.
Yeah, Abel Magwitch, who's the convict that Pip, in this case Noddy, runs away from.
Which would make Big Ears also Magwitch?
Well, no, I think Big Ears is... Big Ears
Miss Havisham?
The lawyer. Dagwood? Datchwood? Datchet. He's the lawyer.
Why have you done this to yourself?
He's the lawyer, right? But the money, Big Ears' money, must be coming from the toy maker. Because, you know, thus being Magwitch, the lion and the toy maker, right? Anyway, Noddy is quite happy to be a toy. So, you know, that's like Pip, happy to be a gentleman when he thinks that that's where he's come from. The citizens of Toyland are not sure that he actually is one. They put him on trial.
They put him on trial. And this is classic Enid Blyton. Yeah. She doesn't give a shit about whether it's for kids or not. She'd do whatever she wants.
They examine whether he is a toy or an ornament. Eventually, he
an
is...
An ornament. They get around EU regulations here. Because but all those things with this is not a toy, they're not up to code.
Export duty. He is declared a toy, but still has to convince the court that he is a good toy.
Oh, wow.
And the judge accepts that he is good after a doll tells the court that he saved her little girl from a lion and he's allowed to stay in Toyland. And then in the second book, he solves a mystery and is given his car. So immediately this...
And presumably his taxi driver's, license. Does he do the knowledge or...?
Well, I mean, this is the thing. That immediately, when I read that and put it together what I've seen in the episode, this rang some alarm bells for me because I think he's an indentured servant. Right? Every fare, no matter where he goes, is sixpence, right? It is that, so it's always a sixpence, okay? And I think it's a sixpence in the same way that it's like in Peter Pan when Wendy says, you must give me a kiss, and he goes, what's that? And she goes, oh, it's a thimble. In the same way that it's not actually sixpence they're giving him, they're just giving him like some old toot, and it's like, oh, here, have your sixpence, Noddy. We're getting free drives around town.
I don't know what you have for breakfast this morning. But you are all over the place. I'm sorry. The bit where she says, give me a kiss, and then it turns out to be a thimble.
Yeah, do you remember that in Peter Pan?
Not really.
Okay.
I was just about holding it together for Great Expectations. It's been a long time since I watched Peter Pan. I remember bits of Pan. You know, they fly and Hook and a bit with... Problematic bit with Native American, Red Indians, whatever. I don't remember any thimbles.
This is when
I'm sure if there was a snog, I'd have remembered it.
This is when he first goes into the bedroom.
Aye.
And she sews the shadow back on. And he says,
oh, I remember
I think
that
he's
bit.
Like, he says, I must thank you. And she says, oh, you must give me a kiss. And he goes, what is a kiss? And she goes, oh, it's a thimble.
But if she wants a kiss and he doesn't know what it is, why doesn't she bloody show him? Why'd she switch it up to thimble?
Well, no idea. Probably because she wants to keep hold of all her kisses. Where here, they want to keep hold of the sixpences. You know,
I'm sorry.
This is a closed loop economy in which he is providing, you know, labour unfairly to him. You know, I mean,
he's providing labour unfairly to himself.
Yes. He is the oppressed worker in all this.
But he's oppressing himself.
Well, no, because his lack of knowledge means...
Who's oppressing him?
Everyone. Everyone who's using his cab. I mean, you know, the pink cat, Dinah Doll, other one. You know, everyone except Big Ears, I think.
What you've done there is just... Right, these people haven't seen the episode, Will.
Okay.
You've talked about nothing that happens in it.
Yes.
And you've just rambled wildly.
Okay. Well, then let's get into the episode.
Now you want to get into the episode. There's people switching off in droves. They're going, oh, he's lost it. I don't know what he's talking about. Thimbles and indentured servitude. I can't follow it. I thought he was a little man in a red and yellow car.
I'm talking the deeper meanings. There are layers within this.
They're only available to you. Nobody else is seeing this.
It's the pattern, man. I've got like a wall covered in red string and
photos. I know you have. I wonder what that was about.
I'm like 3-4 pieces away from cracking this thing wide open.
Can I just take it back?
Yeah, please do.
To what we actually saw on the screen. So, Noddy.
Yes.
They have the little opening credits, the little man in the red and yellow car. Again, I don't think as nice as Postman Pat's little town.
No.
He just sort of drives on a blank screen, doesn't he? I just don't think they've put the effort in here.
To be honest, the intro, though,
yeah,
put me in mind of like one of the Beatles like songs that Paul McCartney does.
Oh no, you've gone mad again.
No, like
you've gone mad again. Because what Beatles song does this put you in mind of? Noddy, the little man in the red and yellow car. What Beatles song is that?
It makes me think of, you know, when
Noddy.
Like... You know, the later albums when like Paul McCartney
they
would
gone
do
mad.
Like... When Paul McCartney would do like
yeah, when they were,
kind
when
of
they were
solo folky like songs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's got that kind of feel to it.
I think everything sounds to you like that at the minute, doesn't it? Because everything you've said so far hasn't made sense to me.
Like the opening to Maxwell Silver Hammer.
Right.
John was da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da crying in the rain. It's got that kind of feel to it. Do you not get that?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, listeners, if you agree with me, get in touch.
Please don't. Please, God, don't encourage him. We're introduced to Noddy.
Yes.
And in the credits, I think they also mention Big Ears, who you've talked about, who I thought was a gnome, and Mr. Plod.
Yes.
Who he's a policeman, but we call him Mr.
Yeah, I mean,
Mr. Plod.
Maybe he's like a PCSO. He's not hasn't really got all the full custodial powers of the police.
Anyway, Mr. Plod, I don't think we saw her in the episode, did we?
No, I don't think we did.
But I do remember that character because Plod is like a sort of derogatory term, but I guess.
Well, and Mr. is another one.
Yes, he's presumably got some sort of level.
But we're introduced to the milkman.
Oh, yes, the milkman's part of this episode.
Yeah, he comes on very morose saying, Milko, Milko. And
yes,
I don't know why.
Which is both his call and sort of his name.
Yes.
Because later on, Noddy wants him, so he goes, Milko, Milko. But I mean, it's been a very long time since we had a milkman. I'm talking, I was in primary school when we stopped having a milkman.
Yeah.
But I don't remember them having a call. They come so early in the morning, it'd be really annoying if they were walking along shouting out, Milko.
It would be intensely annoying. That'd be like your bin men coming along shouting, Binno! Binno!
Oh my God. The bin men, I didn't think they could get more annoying if they shouting out, Binno. Now, I have to talk about this interaction with Noddy.
Yes.
Because as you say, he is very sad. And so they talk and he says that he's very sad. I've lost my special watch, which was a watch that he's been given for like long service with the, you know, milk delivery people.
I thought you were going to say milk police.
I wasn't sure what.
Dairy?
With the dairy. Yeah, sure. Okay. He's been given this special watch. Lost it.
Yeah.
So he's very upset about this. And Noddy is sympathetic, right?
Yes.
Now, Noddy offers a specific service.
Don't call it a service.
To cheer up Milko, right? Now, his name is Noddy. And I should have remembered that one of the things he does is nod.
Yes.
But I wasn't prepared for him to assume the position. Lean down in front of the milkman and say, "Would you like to ring my bell? That always cheers you up." Which Milko then does, because it does indeed cheer him up. He gives a little tug on the bell end of Noddy's hat. And the movement that Noddy does, he is propelled back and forth rapidly. He doesn't just nod, he almost vibrates. This interaction was a total shock to me. It's one of those times where you go back and you think, I must have seen that as a kid. I must have seen that happening. And at the age I was, I accepted that. But now, I cannot.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
What was your reaction to that?
In line with yours, I was in shock. It was one of shock. And it's
the
only...
rapid shooting back and forth of his head.
It is.
That, when he gets rung by the milkman.
I mean, you know, he just wants to show him a good time. He wants to show,
give him
like the sense of, you know, oh, you're an excellent bell tugger. You know, yeah.
Stop it. Because it's such a weird kind of thing to put in there. Like, would you like to ring my bell? And then the milkman really does want to ring his bell.
It is weird. I mean, the thing is, if you put yourself in Noddy's shoes, right?
I don't want to.
You've got your uniform as your taxi driver, which includes a hat with a bell on it. Right,
yeah.
This is the thing you're known for. Now, if you were going around wearing a hat with a bell on it all day, and you knew that this is a thing, people were just going to come up and start hitting the bell on your hat, I'd be furious.
Would you?
I'd be furious. And also, I'd be flinching away from people by the end of the day. Because that's just such an invasion of personal space. Like, if you're offering it, fine. But only if you're happy to do so.
Well, he is offering it.
But, I mean, I just think, like...
We don't know. We don't know from the evidence that we've seen whether people ring Noddy's bell against his wishes.
No, but the milkman, he says to him, that always makes you happy. This is a character with which you must have just a passing, you know...
No, they're all very close in the toy town.
Oh, okay. All right.
They're always seeing each other, aren't they?
Well, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt there. But, I mean, he does say, how am I going to find the milkman? He'll do his round tomorrow. You know, that's when I'll find him. But it's... it just seems to me...
Yeah, he doesn't know where he lives. All right. They're on first name terms. But he's never been round his house. What level of closeness do they need to be for it to be okay for him to ring his bell?
Like, on such a regular basis that you could say that always makes you happy? Closer than milkman and customer, I think.
See, now, if I was wearing a bell for the express purposes of it being rung, I think I'd be okay with saying to someone, would you like to ring my bell? That always cheers you up. What I'm not okay with is that it then leaves you, like, kind of shooting back and forth. His body is out of his control. He's nodding against, you know, like, I can't control it. I mean, if I was the milkman, I'd be walking away from that going, bloody hell, does he get off on that?
I feel a bit unclean.
Why does he always get me to do that?
Yes,
I think he likes it.
Well, yeah, he proffers it, doesn't he? The milkman doesn't say, oh, could
the
I ring your bell?
The milkman doesn't suggest it.
No, no, no.
The milkman doesn't come round and say, do you know what, I've lost my watch, I'm feeling really down. Or what I really want is to give your bell a little tug.
Have you got 10 minutes now?
Have you got 10 minutes? But we should stop with the euphemisms now.
Okay, yes.
Because we need to move on to the French pussy.
All right. Well...
No reaction from you. You're like, yeah, okay.
Oh. Caught me completely off guard. It's like, oh yeah, serious. I'll move on to the next bit of mine.
She's a big pig pussy. Oh, we are adults. We are grown adults.
Oh.
She is... She is a big French pink cat. And there is no euphemism here.
The thing is, she's quite grumpy with him from the start. She's a bit of a growler.
Oh, if you hadn't, I had to. I knew you were going growler.
Oh, I can't help myself.
Anyway, well, did she have a name?
She's Pink Cat. That's her name.
Really?
Yes, her name is Pink Cat.
Yes. Do you think at some stage it was Pink Pussy? Because that's alliterative.
Yeah, I think probably it was.
When they were like, no, we can't have a big pink pussy.
Earlier days when pussy was an acceptable thing to put into children's works.
Yes. She's very rude, isn't she?
She's very rude.
I mean, she's French, so...
That's to be expected. Is that what you're saying, Liz?
I think there is a stereotype that French people are a bit rude. Or a bit demanding. Because she says to Noddy, take me to the station, driver.
Yes, she does. And he's quite...
He's so offended, isn't he?
He is offended. I mean, it's almost like she wants him to do his job.
Because his voice is a child's voice, but I assume voiced by a woman, because it sounds like a woman to me.
Yeah.
And really grumpy goes, my name's Noddy.
I have a name. I'm not just a bell on an end to you to pull on.
Yes. And then it gets worse once she actually gets in.
Yeah.
Because he says, put your tail in. Because the tail is hanging out. And he goes, I wish cats would look after their tails. I would if I had a tail. What sort of dialogue is this? He's so angry. What kind of things has he seen to make him so angry at the way cats treat their tails? Because, of course, this is a toy cat.
Yes.
Right? We're in Toy Town, so her tail just drops off.
And she doesn't notice at all.
She doesn't notice. It just flies out the window.
Yeah, which means, I mean, yeah. Could you stow your tail? That's a reasonable request.
It is, of a toy cat, yes.
Yes, reasonable request. And it flies off, and we see another character run out into the road and grab it and sneak it off.
Somebody takes it.
Yeah.
And she's very angry, obviously, when they arrive at the station that her tail is gone. But Noddy's sort of like, well, I told you.
Yeah.
There's a dispute over a fare.
Well, yes, because he says you owe me 6 months for a fare. And she says you owe me 6 months for a tail.
Everything costs sixpence here.
It does. I mean, to be honest, I was half expecting to say, okay, well, if it's sixpence for the ride, sixpence, we'll call it quits. Free fare and you can spend sixpence on your tail. Rather than pay me.
Yes, no, they seem to keep the animosity going. Noddy's grumpy about this one,
yes.
Right? Because he said to put the tail in and she was belligerent and didn't. Mm-hmm. So you're sort of on Noddy's side on this one.
Yeah.
The next girl, I'm not.
Not at all.
Because Dinah Doll. Is Dinah Doll, right?
It's Dinah Doll, yep.
Yep.
She's coming from the station, needs to get to her stall, quick, sharp, because she's got to open up.
Yeah. And she has her bag with her.
She does have her bag with her. She's got her bag and she says, oh, can you...
Strap it on.
Strap it on. And he says, I haven't got a strap. Well, I mean, what kind of lazy-ass taxi driver is he? He hasn't got any means of securing goods.
Right, again, he shouldn't be a taxi driver. How is Noddy a show about a taxi driver? And I didn't remember this. I can't believe Noddy is a taxi driver. I just cannot get over it. It's like... I don't know.
The thing is, it's like
going back and watching Paddington Bear and realise he worked for MI5. Like, I'm sure there could be a show about that, but wouldn't I have remembered?
I think the thing is, when you've got other shows like Postman Pat, where it's a clear profession.
Yes, it's in the title.
It's there. Postman Pat, Fireman Sam. It should be Noddy the taxi driver. If that's going to be such an integral part of his character, is driving a taxi, put it in there. Don't necessarily call him Noddy. Call him Tony the taxi driver.
I can see why they didn't. Because if there was a show called Noddy the cabbie, would you be expecting a ruddy-faced little bell-wearing imp? Or would you be expecting...
I would love this show reshot, but with, like, the standard taxi driver that I've had before in there. And, like, oh, hello there, Donnie. Can you take me to the station? Down the station? More than my... Not in this traffic, love. More than my job's worth.
Oh, Diana Dole's there, like, oh, what time are you on till?
Do you mind if I stick LBC on at full blast? Luggage, that'll cost you extra. I don't do airports. Noddy. Cut me off again, you prick. The little man of the red and yellow car.
Noddy.
Noddy doesn't have a strap for the bag. So he says, it's all right, we'll just balance it on the back.
Which is absurd. Clearly an absurd plan. Yeah,
on the spare tyre.
Her bag on the spare tyre. Nobody puts their arm over it. Nobody watches it.
No.
And then, when they're in the car, she's like, can't you go any faster? He's like, oh, yeah, I can. It's speeding.
Ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
Gets to the market, and lo and behold, again, the bag has flown off as they've gone around the corner too quick, and...
And she wants sixpence.
She wants sixpence.
She wants sixpence for a bag instead of paying sixpence for the fare.
So now he's out 12 pence.
Well, he's had no money of any of these fares.
Yep.
Who's he meet next?
Oh, next? Well, fortunately then, Big Ears turns up.
Yeah.
Big Ears, I tell you what, Big Ears sounded to me in the way he spoke... Like Mark Heap in Friday Night Dinner. Like, just there's an element of confusion, just everyday things that he's talking about.
Mark Heap's the neighbour.
Yeah, yeah, Jim in Friday Night Dinner. He really does just sound like him. It's like, to the point at which I wouldn't... If Mark Heap didn't and said, yeah, I kind of based it off Noddy from Biggest from Noddy's Toy and Adventures, I wouldn't be surprised.
I was surprised about everything to do with Big Ears.
Yeah.
I found him terrifying. Utterly terrifying. Why does he look so scary? I think it's because the beard is around the edge of his face.
Yes.
If you grow a beard, at least some of it should be on your face.
Yeah.
It should not be a perimeter.
The Amish chin strap is not a good look on anyone.
No.
Not since Lincoln has anyone pulled off just a chin strap.
Oh, you're right. Lincoln can do it,
but you've got to have a very specific look to
He's
pull it off.
He's got a very solid face.
Yeah.
Whereas Big Ears, his face is very round.
Yes.
Very round.
I think that's it. If you've got any extra chins, you can't do the chin strap.
No, because which chin do you strap it onto?
Exactly.
Oh. The age-old problem.
How far back do you wear your chin strap?
Oh, no, I've grown an extra chin. I've got to redo a chin strap.
What I'd love is someone to grow a chin strap exactly like they do in the Household Cavalry, where it just comes over the top of your chin.
Yeah.
That's it. From your sideburns down to the top of your
one
chin.
One very, very thin.
It goes from the side
black
over
line.
The top of the chin and then back under the side. So, yeah, that would just look weird. But Big Ears introduces to Noddy the concept of theft.
Right.
Because Noddy's like, I've lost all these things and I've looked everywhere for them. He goes, well, maybe someone else has taken them.
Oh, yes. When you said he introduces the concept of theft, I thought you were going to say... I've missed something there because he said to him, well, if they won't pay you their money, we should just go and take it.
Well, exactly. I really thought he was going to say that. I hoped he was going to say, well, no, you still drove them. They still owe you money. But they find he spots Martha Monkey, who's picked up the tail and is now wearing it as a scarf.
Yes, she's very pleased with it.
She's very pleased with it. And so Noddy tricks her into saying that, you know, a cat will scratch you.
Give it back or the big pink pussy will scratch you.
Yes.
It's very aggressive, this interaction. It doesn't hold back.
No.
Noddy's like, she could scratch you. You better give it back. You know, there's no diplomacy here. It's
not
just threats.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy with it.
No. It's quite brutal, but it's effective.
I don't think Noddy comes across that well, I've got to be honest.
He doesn't, no.
Comes across like a bit of a dick.
I think he's lacking in some social skills. Whether that's because he's just come from being carved and not grown up in a toy environment.
Maybe it's because he's a child taxi driver.
Could
and that's
be.
A difficult environment, isn't it? You know, for a child. You know, one time we talked about the worst jobs that you could take a dog to.
Yeah.
And I said dentist. What are the worst jobs for a child? Because I would argue cab driver is up there.
Yeah.
Because they shouldn't be in charge of a vehicle. And people will rip them off. As happens here. I don't think a child should ever be a taxi driver.
No, no. I would add to that as well, parking attendant.
Oh, really?
Right, Jenny, when I used to work in like a parking team, there was a school, primary school.
You weren't a traffic warden.
I wasn't, no. But there was a primary school that always had problems with parents parking on like the yellow zigzags.
Yeah.
And the school was very keen to try and stop this and written out to parents, everything else didn't happen. So they said, okay, we'll try something different. We'll get the kids involved. So they started off telling the kids to go home and tell their parents not to do it.
Mm.
When it carried on happening, they actually got little high-vis vests for the kids.
This is appalling.
And got them to go out and hand out bits of paper saying, you shouldn't park here.
Wow.
The amount of abuse that people hurled at primary school children. It was like you genuinely had parents screaming at kids that weren't their own.
No.
I'm allowed to park where I like. You shouldn't be. Like, literally, like, it was.
I can't believe that's how it went down. Because when you said it, I was like, oh, God, yeah, I would feel so shamed if a child came and gave me something that said I was in the wrong, parked in the wrong place. I would feel so shamed.
Yeah.
And wow.
Most of them did, but one or two just fought back. And, like, I got told this by the head teacher, and they were like, yeah, we don't try anything with the kids anymore because that happened, and it was so bad. But I was like, oh, my God, who would scream at, like, a six-year-old for telling them they're doing something which is dangerous and illegal?
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Amazing. But so, yeah, those two jobs that a child should definitely not do.
No, apparently not.
Then we were introduced to another new character, who is a clockwork mouse.
You say introduced. It's barely a character.
Well, he's another thief. He's got Dinah Doll's bag.
Yeah.
And also, as it turns out, Milko's watch.
Oh, yes, he did have that as well.
Because when he gets
up, Milko.
He runs away and leaves behind Milko's watch.
Yeah.
And which is great because Noddy picks it up and says, ah, well, look, it's set to 6 o'clock. That's the time he starts his round. And my first thought was, what use is a watch that is set just on the time that you're going to be starting your round?
What they've done here is a classic Quincy.
Okay.
Right? In the show Quincy...
Oh, yes.
He always gets a very precise time of death because every single time someone dies, they smash their watch. But obviously Milko didn't die and he wasn't... Nobody fought or mugged him for the watch. So therefore they just randomly say, oh, look, it's set to 6 o'clock. But they should say, like, it's got an alarm set for six. That's what they mean, isn't it?
Well, I think it is. But the problem is this is 92, so this is really before most watches have alarms on them.
No, no. Some of the old, like, analogue ones, you have, like, the main face and then you've got a little separate face that's got, like, an alarm on it, haven't you?
Really? I've never seen that in my life.
I think so. But it isn't a wristwatch. It's like a...
It's like a pocket watch.
Pocket watch, yeah.
I mean, if that's true, then fair enough. It just confused me because I thought, what use is a watch that's not actually ticking, but just showing you what time you need to get up?
Well, I don't know. It's decorative. It was given to him by the thing, so maybe they cheaped out and they just gave him one that says, this is the time your round starts.
Yeah. 25 years, you've never been on time, Milko. Here. Take this watch and remember what time your bloody shift starts.
Oh, dear. So anyway, everybody's got their stuff back.
Yes. Noddy tells us, tells Milko very happily that because he gave back the tail and the bag, Dinah Doll and the Pink Pussycat each gave him an extra sixpence on top of the sixpence they already owed him.
Everyone gave him 2 sixpences. The only currency here is sixpence.
Yes.
There's no... You know, that the existence of sixpence implies that you could have onepence, twopence, threepence, but you can't. You just have sixpences. So they owed him sixpence and they gave him an extra sixpence. They didn't give him 12p.
No.
But Noddy proves how terrible he is with money and why a child really can't manage their own affairs, because with all this extra money that he's got, which is really just his wages, he throws a massive tea party for all these people who were rude to him the day before.
Yes. But Milko, having his watch back...
Oh, you know how he wants to celebrate, don't you? I'd love to ring your little bell.
Oh, I bet you would.
It happens again. Again, Noddy assumes the position for his bell to be rung by the milkman.
And I mean, you can almost hear Noida going, well, that'll be an extra sixpence at the end.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Oh, dear. So there we are. So that's Noddy's Toyland Adventures 92. Now, Noddy Toyland Detective is 2016 to 2020. I can't tell you exactly when in the run this one we watched came.
Nobody cares, I don't think. Has this got an episode title, anything?
This has. This is Noddy and the Case of the Amazing Eyebrows.
I don't think I understood what was happening in this episode. Just to say, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Now, in the previous episode that we watched, there was almost nothing going on.
Yes.
But you inferred a lot, right?
Yeah.
In this one, there's too much going on, and I have no idea how to take meaning from it.
There are so many characters. It's Toyland has gone from being this quaint little town to a buzzing metropolis. There are skyscrapers in the background.
Yeah.
There is traffic everywhere.
It's more like one of the Lego movies.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where there's just so much going on because they had so many ideas, they just stuffed the background with little bits and bobs. So there's still toys. That, you know, it is a toy town, so there's still the other characters are meant to be toys.
Yeah.
We meet a huge metal man. I don't know any of the character names, Will.
No, I mean, I only picked up one or two. Now, the thing on this, in the previous ones, quite clearly, Noddy is a wooden doll.
Right.
Is he still a toy in this?
I don't know, Will.
I think he's a young boy now.
He does seem like a young boy. I know that everything he's wearing seems to be knitted.
Yes.
They put a lot of effect on that, you know, his garb there.
You can really see the weft of his knitted jumper and everything else. We're introduced to a character.
I don't like the look of him. We should talk about him, actually.
Yeah.
I don't like the look of him. Much as I like knitwear, and I love to see knitwear rendered in graphics form.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Absolutely love it. I'm not convinced with the look of him. His hair is too unruly. It's all too...
There's too much detail
on him. I think a children's character, it's nice when they're really very simple.
I agree, because I think the thing is, when you're a kid and you get set to draw things, you like drawing your characters.
Yeah.
And the more detail you put onto a children's character, the harder it is to draw properly. It should be a case of, yeah, it's just a red jumper, and you can just colour it in red. You haven't got to worry about putting in the cable knit.
Buttons and patches and
yeah. He's got sneakers. He's got, like, trainers now rather than just
That is definite, you know, when you update something. Like, nowadays, when they're making a character, they're like, where should we start? Well, if we want to update it, we've got to put him in trainers.
Yeah, that's it. He's got to be able to move quickly. Yeah. No more smart shoes for your cartoon characters. Got to be in trainers.
We're just lucky that this is 2016, because if it was about, you know, 5-10 years earlier, he'd have been in Converse.
Oh, God, he would have been. Ripped jeans instead of...
Imagine emo Noddy.
You want to ring my bell? Well, you can't. So anyway, the cold open for this, we're introduced to a robot toy called Fuse.
Is he called Fuse? He's called Fuse. Big metal fella.
The white one with the display screen.
Oh, mate, I haven't got a clue. I haven't got a clue. Who's the one whose eyebrows are the titular eyebrows?
That's Fuse, right?
Fuse,
yes.
Right.
He kind of looks like an Alexa with legs.
If you can imagine such a thing.
Imagine a Roomba with limbs. That's kind of what you've got, okay? He's called Fuse, and he's going to be awarded a prize for most helpful toy.
Right, most helpful toy, because they're setting up for an award ceremony. They're rolling out a red carpet. Things are happening.
Yes, he is very excited about this, as excited as he can be, because he's a robot.
He has a little LED display face. So yeah, like you say, he's like a Roomba. He's like a disc shape.
Yeah,
but he has a face, like a display, which can display a face or a message.
Yes. So at one point, when he gets told he's getting the award, he says, happy face, and a big smile comes.
He does this. He basically announces emojis.
Yes.
Which I think is the worst character trait I've ever heard.
I'm with you. It is awful. It does have that feel of this has been written by committee. Of what are kids like? Kids like emojis.
How do we get emojis in there?
We can't license emojis.
They already did an emoji movie.
Let's have him do a similar kind of thing.
Crying face. I hate it. I hate it.
But anyway, he's a little concerned about it. He wants to look his best for this awards ceremony. Pad Pad the Panda,
Yeah, another new character.
Yep, she says, well, I've got a dressing up box. Everyone can come and borrow dress outfits. Up. And here, you can have these amazing eyebrows that will give you some more expression. Arguably, fixed stick-on eyebrows will give him less expression than his LED adaptable face.
Yes, I think you can and should have argued that.
Yeah, but anyway, it turns out there's a little bit of hoo-ha and the eyebrows get stolen.
We should say who else is there at this ceremony, because yes. Noddy is there at that point, isn't he?
Noddy's there, yeah.
And there's also three unicorns who are sort of razzing on each other. They're like...
Yeah, they're glittery. I think they're supposed to be My Little Pony style.
Do you think? I couldn't tell really what they were. Everything's toys.
Yeah.
But in a way that I don't think would make sense to children. Because when I saw those unicorns, I was like, right, clearly they can't move their limbs, so they're moulded plastic or something. But I, as an adult, was having to try and put these things together. I think a kid would just see that and go, yeah, unicorns live here.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm with you.
They
on
wouldn't
that.
Go, oh, that's a toy unicorn. Probably came out of a Happy Meal because it's got the small screws. You know, they're not doing that kind of work. They just go,
they
yeah,
should be.
Yeah, unicorn, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think you've also.
And also, Clockwork Mouse is back, right?
Yes.
Clockwork Mouse is back in this episode.
Now seemingly voiced by Imelda Staunton.
Clockwork Mouse is a tin mouse with leather ears and a leather tail. The leather being quite worn, right? Mm-hmm. An amazing amount of detail has gone into that.
So much detail.
What kind of kid has ever seen a toy that looks like that? A clockwork tin mouse with leather parts. No kid has seen that. That's old school for me, right? The only way they've seen anything that looks like that is if their parents make them watch the repair shop.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe it's a thing to try and cross generations.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Just no.
No, because I don't even know. They would have. It would be like their great grandparents who would have had toys like that.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the thing. You watch.
I'm going to phone my mom later and say, "Did you ever see a tin mouse with leather ears?"
Well, next time we go around, you have to put it on so you can watch with mother and see if she had any of those toys.
Oh, I don't think I want to draw my family into this mess we've created for ourselves.
Oh, amazing. Anyway, the eyebrows are missing, and the only thing is people remember hearing a bell. So assuming immediately, well, the only person around here who wears a bell, Noddy, must be the thief. So Noddy gets his iPad out, because of course he's got an iPad.
Yes, he works a lot off a tablet.
He does work off a tablet.
Which depressed me, I'll be honest. Because it was just so... They focused a lot on it, didn't they?
They did focus a lot on the gadgetry. And says, let's investigate. So he starts taking photos of clues.
This is the thing now. In this iteration, he is still a taxi driver, but also a detective.
Well, he's a taxi driver. He's also an Amazon Prime driver because he's taking parcels. As well as people, you know, he's doing all that. And yes, and so I think just that's actually got a decent modern updating, that these are fairly low-income jobs. He's having to hold down multiple income sources.
Gig economy,
that's what this is,
just
right?
Takes what you can
this
get.
Is a damning indictment of the gig economy, because the immediate assumption is this has gone missing. It must have been the Amazon driver that stole it.
Well, I mean, it is very incriminating that they say nobody has a bell. Nobody has a bell like Noddy, and a bell was heard. So what are you going to do?
Well, absolutely. I mean, yeah, so the eyebrows go missing. Then before you know it, the banner has been nicked from behind the stage, and the award itself has been stolen as well. And, you know...
They were a bit careless with that, to be fair.
They were. They did just leave it on the side.
On a car.
Yeah. While they nipped off for something else, I think. I can't remember.
Oh, somebody forgot their keys. You know how it is. You leave it on top of the car while you forgot your keys.
Before you know it, you're driving off and it's falling down. You're going down the A2.
You haven't got a big brain. You're a clockwork mouse.
Well, that's it. That's it, absolutely. And you're relying on your goons, and your goons aren't any help at all.
Who were the goons of the clockwork mouse?
Well, there was the tall fella.
Yeah.
And the other one.
Yeah, I was very confused. There's too many characters, too much going on.
Too many characters. I mean, so...
Has this been a big success?
Well, I mean, it's run for 4 years.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything.
No, but
they just
I mean,
keep making the same old shit.
Well, absolutely. I think this is the thing. Yeah, whereas, I think the thing is, you've got to bear in mind, you don't need to make so many episodes now. You need to make a certain amount, and then you can stick them on YouTube for a day, And then a kid will watch through all of them in a day, and then you can watch them again, right?
So is that how it works, Will?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Oh, right, that's
how it works. You don't need to make, like, 10 years worth of stuff and stick it all on video. Make enough that you can stick them on YouTube, and then so that you can make a day-long playlist so that the kids don't get bored in the same day. Kids have got very short memories. They're like goldfish.
The investigation becomes a big part of this now.
Yes. Well, he is a Toyland detective.
He's the Toyland detective. So on his tablet, he still has a magnifying glass, like Sherlock Holmes style. He uses his magnifying glass to look at a photograph which he has on the tablet.
Yes.
So it doesn't have a zoom function.
No.
And he uses it to highlight a part of the photograph which can be seen clearly without the magnifying glass.
Because he finds a bell, doesn't he, on the ground.
Oh, he finds a bell, that's it.
And it's got a little panda sticker on it. And
It was a lie. When they said, you're the only one with these bells, it's like, it's not a special bell that nobody else can get their hands on. Here's one just laying in the street. So yeah, it's got a panda sticker on. We met a panda earlier. We've got to go and find Pat or whatever.
Yep. So he goes off to find her and says... And she goes, yes, that is my bell. I must have given it to someone. And he says, do you have a record of who you gave it to? I don't. But I did take photos of everyone in their costumes.
Yes, because she was giving out things for people to wear, which is actually a good tip. If you give something to somebody so that they can borrow it, take a photograph of them with it, and then you won't forget who you've given it to.
That seems like a bit much, though. If I'm like lending someone something small...
I told you this week that you don't give things back.
I am
terrible. So that's why you're against the system.
I'm not against the system. I just think, imagine if I had gone to work and lent someone, as I did, a DVD of Event Horizon about 5 years ago. And they said, oh, can I borrow that? I said, oh, yeah, sure, take it along. Oh, can you stand still while I take a photo of you with it? Why is that? So I don't forget I've forgiven it to you. Well, I'll give it back. We'll see. I've got proof that you've got it. Don't forget.
I think there's a certain type of person who would do that. Mm. And you know there is.
Yeah.
I know people who would do that, who'd be like, I don't care that this is only a DVD copy of Event Horizon. I'm taking a photograph of you with it and you will return it to me. But I'm the sort of person who would do it secretly.
Oh, you'd surreptitiously take a photo of them?
Yeah.
Like, what, you'd hand it to them and then suggest a group shot?
I'd hand it to them and then I'd be like, oh, sorry, I think I've just got a text. Get my phone out.
Disable your camera like, sound.
Anyway, you get it back to me whenever you can. Don't worry. As if my phone has made a noise in the last 12 years. There is no camera sound on my phone.
You've got to make sure your flash is off, though. That's
Flash is always off. I'm taking surreptitious photos all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is why you'd be such a good spy.
I'd be a great spy.
That Paddington Bear works for MI5.
Yes.
You can see the signs. He's fooling no one. So, through looking at the photos, Noddy tracks down that it is one of the unicorns called Hoof, imaginatively, who was wearing those bells. So he dashes round to their house, quick sharp.
He really does catch Hoof bang to rights. So he bursts in... And Hoof is wearing the bells and the eyebrows, receiving the award.
In front of the banner.
In front of the banner in a fake ceremony that he's set up with the other two unicorns.
And he is complimenting the fact he's never had a banner or a trophy before and his new eyebrows.
Now, I thought, you know, rightly or wrongly, they'd take exceptionally poorly to this kind of thievery. It was just blatant thievery, wasn't it?
But it was, but then I'm thinking, this is two episodes we've watched, you know. Minimum 24 years apart.
Yeah.
Both of which there's been a crime wave. Right? And they're supposed to be a Mr. Plod, the policeman. Maybe that's why they give him such a derisory nickname, because he's so ineffective.
Crap, isn't he? He's
never
rubbish.
On the scene.
No. Can't find him when you want him.
No, not at all.
Well, why has Noddy had to become a detective when they've got a policeman?
Absolutely.
What is he doing? What is he bringing to this? Noddy is a child detective. Why is the policeman not doing this?
I wish they'd gone full noir with this. Like, Noddy joined the police force, got kicked off because he's too much of a loose cannon, and now he's a private eye, and any time he really needs something from the police, you know, Plod pulls him in, and he's like, damn it, Noddy, you're taking too many risks. This is outside of your jurisdiction.
When you said full noir, I was imagining Noddy just at his desk, like a man's body and suit, and then just Noddy's head with the bell dangling, just flicking a fag out of his mouth.
empty whiskey bottle rolling on the floor.
Femme Fatale walks in. Would you like to ring my bell? It hasn't been rung for some time.
I thought it was you, pink pussy.
Here was a dame who needed a bell rung badly.
They fished Milko's corpse out of the harbour last night, Nutty.
Is that the dame?
Yes.
Is that as high as your voice goes? They fished her. What sort of femme fatale is that? Oh, they fished Milko out there. Oh, dear. I love it.
Oh, dear. Well, it was a haughty growler, was that enforced?
No, not the haughty growler. Like the Black Dahlia, the haughty growler.
Noddy in the case of the haughty growler.
Coming soon to a cinema near you.
Anyway, Hoof the Purple Unicorn caught red-handed, cops stealing everything.
Yep.
On the basis that he's never won anything. That's why he took it all.
Yeah, sure. That's just an excuse you can throw out and everybody will forgive you.
Yep.
But they do.
They
do. Because we go back to the award ceremony. Right, to see this Roomba get his award, which, you know, happy face or whatever he says. Can't remember. Exceptionally happy face. And then they announce that there will be two other special awards, which you're thinking, fine, Noddy's getting an award because he cracked the case.
Mm-hmm.
So Noddy ends up getting Best Toy Investigator.
Yep.
Which, again, Mr. Ploddy is not even nominated. Not even in this.
He's at the back in a dirty Mac, having been sat going, that should have been my award, Noddy. Oh, my God, that's how Noddy's nemesis starts.
Oh,
that's,
is that his supervillain origin story?
Yeah, that's how Plod becomes Moriarty to Noddy's Mr. Holmes.
I don't think Plod's got the skills to be Moriarty.
Ploddyarty? You wouldn't watch that.
Have you got the gall to say the words Ploddyarty and you wouldn't watch that in the same breath? But the real crime here is not the crime that Hoof committed. It's their reaction, because they give Hoof an award, which is the Owning Up and Telling the Truth award. Now, can I tell you why this annoys me, right?
Please do.
Right, because what happens is you follow all the rules, you do everything right, and nobody gives a shit. But you mess up spectacularly, and then you go... And he wasn't even sorry. He got caught, and then he was like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I haven't ever won anything. But it was not like he owned up. He didn't own up. He didn't say, oh, I've realised what I did was really bad. Noddy had to go and find him.
Yeah.
And telling the truth, he didn't have a choice. He was covered in the stuff, covered in stolen goods. They give him a sodding award. What's he done? He's done nothing. Why has he got an award? These people stood at the back there going, I've been tidying up, picking up litter. I was at work doing my job. Why haven't I got an award? Why is the thief up there getting an award for being a bad thief that got caught?
PC Plod stands there. He may be ineffective, but he's working tirelessly not to stop any crime. Where's his award?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I mean, to be honest, between that and Milko's watch from the first episode, it does seem like they have a pretty poor understanding of what awards and prizes are.
Yes.
But then you get, at the end of this, Big Ears arrives on the scene.
And Big Ears still looks awful. Again, he's had an update, like Noddy, and they've put in way too much detail. He's got stripy trousers and I don't know.
The beard is somehow worse.
The beard is worse, if anything. He looks crap. I hated the look of him.
I tell you what, I had a revelation on this.
Did you?
I did. The first episode we watched, and this episode, the only person who interacts with Big Ears is Noddy.
Oh, you think Big Ears is...
I think Big Ears is Noddy's conscience.
Right.
I think maybe Big Ears is like... He's Noddy's inner voice telling him what to do. The first one, he's like, Noddy... If things have gone missing, someone must have taken them. And
is that a conscience voice or are you doing Darth Vader there?
A bit of both.
Your conscience is Darth Vader.
Look, I mean, you know, no.
Have you turned to the dark side?
It's indefensible.
Was it Noddy that pushed you over the edge?
Maybe it was. Maybe it was. Look, I just the flagrant disregard for law and order. You know, when's it going to be Mr. Plod's turn? It just suddenly got me thinking, yeah, maybe Big Ears isn't real in all this. Maybe Big Ears is like Bruce Willis in Sixth Sense.
Spoilers for Sixth Sense.
Spoilers for Sixth Sense.
The most spoilt film ever. Yes. But in that, in Sixth Sense, everybody's dead. They're all dead.
No, Bruce Willis is dead.
Bruce Willis is dead.
Hayley Joel Osment can see dead people. Everyone else is alive. But no one else, because no one else interacts with Bruce Willis, and you don't realise that until the end of the film when you go, oh, Bruce Willis is dead.
No. I thought the kid was dead as well.
Is the kid dead as well? I'm going to put it out there. I've never actually seen Sixth Sense.
What? You haven't seen it?
No, I've got it on DVD somewhere. I've never watched it. I've never felt the need to because I knew what the twist was.
I have seen it, but when everybody... this is... I don't know if this makes me sound really thick. Really thick. But when everyone's saying, oh, he's dead, that's the twist, I thought they meant the kid. So I was surprised Bruce Willis was dead. I think I got them mixed up in my mind.
Amazing.
I'm the only person in the world who saw that movie and didn't see it coming.
I see dead people. Well, of course you do, kid. You're dead yourself.
No, but that would have still been a twist, wouldn't it? Why are you laughing? Is that the thickest thing I've ever said?
I'm just so surprised at that. Like,
I was young when I saw it. Now, come on now.
I think we've talked before about how if we watch anything in which there is like a murder plot or a crime or a mystery, you will clock the solution on it incredibly quickly. You'll know immediately who the killer is, why they did it, how they got away with it. You will know all these things straight off the bat.
I did it the other day, didn't I, when my dad was watching Death in Paradise.
Mm.
And I went, that's what's happened, and walked out the room. You know, half an hour before the end, I already, like, knew it.
Yeah.
I couldn't be bothered watching it. I don't know, it's the first time I've ever seen it, to be honest. Dreadful show. Why'd they make that? Anyway, no, but the problem is my radar goes off kilter if people try and give me clues.
Right.
Or tell me. I have to do it purely from the source material.
See, when this says
that, and when they were, everyone was saying, "Oh, the twist is he's dead. Oh, he doesn't know he's dead. He doesn't, you know, he's dead and he doesn't know." I was like, oh, "I mean, Hayley Joel Osment."
And that would be a better twist.
Well, I don't think you haven't seen it. I thought they're all dead.
Someone could also send us a plot summary of The Sixth Sense.
No, if it's here, we should watch it. We should watch it.
All right. You, well, we'll go and do
look that. Up your own plot summaries, for fuck's sake, you lazy shit. We've just said everyone knows what happens in Sixth Sense and we don't know what happens.
I thought I knew, and then you've shaken my knowledge.
We're going to watch it now. We're not going to look it up. We're going to make you watch it.
Okay. Well, Liz, that, though, was Noddy.
Was it? I think we talked about everything else but Noddy.
Oh, how dear. Do you like me now?
I wasn't a fan of this.
Okay.
At all.
In either iteration?
In either iteration. I've got to say, the modern thing I thought was total shite. Did not like the modern thing. Didn't like the look of it. Too confusing. Too many characters. Don't care. I don't know why he's a child detective and taxi driver. It's a ridiculous occupation. I didn't like anything about it. I didn't like the tablet recaps. I really didn't like the tablet recaps. As though kids are going to be watching Solving It Along. But what? How? No, that's not going to work. You know, that's not educational, is it? How to solve the case of missing eyebrows. I hated the modern version. But you go back to the old version and it's crap. It doesn't stand up against Postman Pat.
No.
All right? It obviously has this, you know, catch on the imagination because everybody knows the characters of Noddy and Big Ears and whatever else, but maybe they shouldn't. Maybe we should just scrub it from history. If we could just room 101 this, just scrub it out and it never happened, everyone would be fine. Get rid of it. Didn't like it. Don't need it.
Well, I mean, I'm mostly with you. I think there's some elements of it I would pull out and save. I think, you know...
Tell me what.
Okay, well, I mean, the intro from the 92 one, I think that song is...
Noddy!
Yeah, I think, oh, yeah, okay. If I heard that, it didn't grate on me.
Oh, it did me. Oh, it did me. And it's not, like I say, it's not a sweet little intro like Postman Pat. It's just Noddy driving his car and then waving, really vigorously waving in a quite annoying way. Noddy annoyed me. I didn't like him.
Yeah.
He was a bellend.
I'm with you on that. The character Noddy, no, I didn't like. I didn't like the character Noddy at all. And, you know, we've seen other things, better things, where the remake has been good.
I'd have rather watched Milko on his round.
You want the spin-off of Milko?
I just want a miserable milkman. And it just goes round and everybody in Toy Town is like, "Hello, Milko! Have you brought the milk today?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm fucking miserable." Christ, I hate this job. I hope someone kills me. The only joy I get is ringing that little Noddy's bell. I love tugging on that little fella.
And on that note, Liz, thank you for joining me.
Do not forget to get on them internets.
Yes.
And tell us anything you remember or want mentioned and talked about on our Art Attack episode. It is going to be a big bumper episode. We've got some surprises, let me tell you.
Damn straight we have. It's going
to
be
They're
going
to think we talked to Neil Buchanan now. We haven't talked to Neil Buchanan. I'm so sorry.
It's going to be a great episode. So get in touch. Until then, Liz, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to rate, like, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, tell the whole world. And we'll be back next week with another episode. Until then, bye.